Thank you and be seated, please. I'm John Byers, and it's a super great joy to welcome you to worship at Conyers First United Methodist Church. And if you're a guest with us today, you are our special delight, and we're really glad you're here. It would mean a lot to me if all of you would look in your worship folder and find the white connection card. I want to connect my heart with yours, and I want you to feel free to connect your heart with us. On the front side is an opportunity for you to register your attendance to know that we're here today. We promise we won't show up on your front doorstep with a pledge card yet. No, I'm kidding. We just want to be able to connect with you, and then if you'll hold on to it at the end of the service, I'd like to draw your attention to the back side this morning. So, how did you feel Friday when you heard the announcement? I've been conflicted for more than 10 years about the war in Iraq. I'm so grateful that God has given us the ability to be a force for good as the United States, a force for good around the world. I'm so glad that we have men and women who are willing to stand in harm's way to advance democracy and peace. I'm so glad that we have a heartbeat to make sure dictators have an exit strategy prepared for them. How did you feel Friday when you learned that the troops would be withdrawn from Iraq by the end of the year? There are a couple of things I'd like for us to pray about this morning in our prayers. First of all, in thanking God for the thousands that have lost their lives across these years, young men and women wearing the red, white, and blue. I pray that God would bless the Iraqi people now that they've had a taste of freedom, especially the Iraqi women, who for the first time in their lives and in the culture of that great civilization have had a real voice. Can anybody forget the day that women had a blue mark on the tip of their finger because their voice counted for something? I'm praying today that God will bring our troops home safely. My biggest prayer today is that the efforts that we have made there will not be lost, and that Iraqi people who now have a sense of freedom will not let the dictatorial tyranny of Iran put them back into the grip of fear. We have so many families in our church who have men and women who are a part of the military, and we pray for them every week. I am proud that our men and women in Iraq will be coming home. Would you join me in praying for their return, praying to thank God for all that has happened there, and praying that the Iraqi people will rise up? Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for today, and we thank you that you're the Prince of Peace, and we thank you that in freedom and in joy, we can gather in this place to acknowledge that you are the sovereign God of us all, that you are our personal Savior and Lord, and if we'll let you, you'll empower us by your Holy Spirit to live a life that counts for something, a life that's bigger than our petty little world, a life that makes a real difference. God, our hearts are rejoicing today that a phase of the war that we've been involved with for so long is coming to an end. God, thank you for the men and women who have given their lives willingly for the cause of freedom. We bless their memory today. We pray your blessings as men and women are come home to be reunited to their families, reunited to the land that they love. God, we pray for the advancements that have taken place in Iraq, particularly freedom for women. And God, I pray that the people of Iraq will now feel such a strong sense of the possibility that they have as a people, that they will clearly reject the advances of the tyranny of Iran, that they will no longer be in bondage to a dictator, but that they can truly live a new chapter in their lives. God, we thank you for that the cradle of civilization, and pray that a brand new chapter will begin for them. God, we continue to pray for our military men and women. Bless them with a hedge of protection. We pray for another army. We call them our missionary men and women who are standing in the gap across cultural lines, across lines of religion and race and language, to show with the love light of their face that Jesus Christ is Lord, that Jesus Christ is the Prince of Peace. God, bless and advance our missionary men and women. God, we pray for peace in a world that seems to know no peace. And may peace begin in our hearts in this place today. God, I thank you that I get to be part of a church that advances the cause of peace as we serve people in your name, as we provide for people who are in need, as we call people to new life in Christ. God, be pleased with our desire to honor you today with our presence. with the freedom of worship, with an open mind, with a willingness to hear your call to arms for our lives. God, we just thank you that you are relentless in your pursuit of us. Lord, today may somebody be found in the arms of your love. Today may somebody know the power of your forgiveness. May somebody feel the joy of your presence living inside them. God, we thank you for today and every blessing. We acknowledge that each good and perfect gift comes from you. And now, Lord, because we want to be united together, not based on who we are, but whose we are. Not based on our past, but our unwritten future. Not based on who's greater than another, who's higher or lower, but together we are level at the foot of the cross. So we join our voices in our heart language to pray as you taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The power of two simple words. I wonder if you've experienced the power of those two words in your own life, and especially as it relates to God. I come from a very old-fashioned, very traditional family. And as a little boy, I was taught. It was drilled into me the power of saying thank you. And not just saying it, but living it out. I'm from a very old-fashioned school where I was taught a very old-fashioned practice that seems to have gone by the wayside today. It's the old-fashioned practice of writing a thank you note. No, not with a computer keyboard. I mean pen and ink and a real piece of paper and a stamp. Maybe if we would get back in the habit of writing thank you notes, the post office would not be going bankrupt. The power of saying thank you. When somebody does something really nice for me, when somebody acknowledges something in my life, when somebody offers a grace to me, I find delight in writing a thank you note. Now, I doubt that person who's given themselves to me is expecting a thank you note. I doubt they're giving with the motivation to get a thank you note. But I wonder how they feel when they receive it. How do you feel when you receive a thank you note? Pretty awesome, huh? Now let's do the converse. How do you feel when you do not receive a thank you note? When you are not acknowledged for a token of goodness that is given in your life, how do you feel about that? Well, at best, I guess we feel indifferent. We wonder if it was received. We wonder if it mattered. I wonder if we get that feeling from the heart of God. I believe with everything in me, God is wired to give to us. It's in his character. It's in his DNA. It's in his nature to bless his children. I wonder, do we acknowledge by saying, thank you, God, for the blessings of life? Now, I doubt God's waiting for a thank you note from us. But it seems to me that it strengthens the relationship when we say, thank you, God, that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. And thank you, God, that you have shed your grace and goodness in my life. And thank you, God, that I can acknowledge that you're the sovereign of my life. This morning, as we continue our October series, exploring the essential element of a faithful life. After we've talked about God's desire to redeem us and make us one with him, to restore us even when we've fallen away from him, today we're going to explore God's call to return to him. A token of thanks for his glory and for the good of other people. And I'd like for you to look way back in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy. It's one of the first five books of the Bible, one of the five great books that Moses wrote. If you're not exactly sure where Deuteronomy is, that's why God gave us a table of content. Would you find with me Deuteronomy chapter 8? And the whole chapter is powerful, but I want to read some selected verses beginning in verse 10. Have you found the book of Deuteronomy, Old Testament? Moses writes, when you have eaten and are satisfied, Praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you today. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember, two powerful words, but remember the Lord your God. For it is he who gives us the ability to produce wealth and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. I really like this text, and I really like the 18th verse, and I hope you'll underline it in your Bible. And I'm particularly drawn to the concept of God gives us the power, God gives us the ability to gather wealth, to get riches, some of your translations say. The original Hebrew text there, I think, is the most powerful to me. In the original Hebrew text, it says, God gives us the ability to gather strength. Strength not only in physical resources, but strength in the security of a relationship. Strength in the secure knowledge that we are in his hand, that our lives count, that we matter to God, that he has a purpose for our lives. Gathering strength. In a very few economy of words, Moses is revealing the heart of God to us, that he wants to confirm our relationship as a relationship of strength, and part of that relationship is giving you the ability to gather your strength. Now, if we take Moses at his word, it's real clear that we don't need to beg God to bless us. That's God's predisposition. We don't need to get on our knees and say, oh God, please shower your blessings on me. Oh God, I need. Oh God, I want. God's already wired for that. If that's the case, then why do many of us feel like we are insecure? Why do many of us feel like we do not have the capacity to gather strength? There are two ways to look at this equation. Do we need to beg God to bless us, or do we need to take God seriously, take God at his word, and put ourselves in a position where we can receive? Have you ever thought of it that way? Maybe the issue is not so much with God's heart, but the issue is with our heart. The pattern of Scripture is very, very clear. God wants to bless you if you belong to him. God wants to bless his chosen people. And if you're chosen in Jesus, you are one of his chosen people. But we need to be clear that the moment we accept these gifts and give ourselves credit for these gifts and forget that it is the Lord our God that has blessed us, then we immediately erect a barrier to his kindness in our lives. So that's why Moses says, remember, recall, replay, refocus. Remember that it is the Lord your God who has given you the ability to gather strength for your life. How do we remember? I believe we remember best when we give thanks to God in a tangible way. Now, I began with the illustration of writing a thank you note. Well, I think there's a particular kind of thank you note that we can write to God every week. My thank you note happens to be on a blue piece of paper that says SunTrust Bank, Atlanta, Georgia. And when I write my thank you note to God, I address it to the Conyers First United Methodist Church. In this third installment of our stewardship series, we're going to talk today about the power of saying thank you in a way that really matters. On your outline, I want you to notice five things that I've learned in my own journey of stewardship, my own journey of my relationship with my stuff. And by the way, I like my stuff, and I've got some pretty great stuff. And I thank the Lord for my stuff, but the best thing I can say about my stuff is my stuff doesn't own me anymore. My stuff doesn't define me anymore. In fact, I'm at a place in my life where I'm trying to give stuff away. I'm encumbered by my stuff. There are five things that I've learned in my life that all begin with the letter R that I want to share with you this morning about how you can put yourself in a place to gather strength from God and return thanks to Him in a way that glorifies Him and blesses other people. The first principle that I've learned is God wants us to recycle His resources. Recycle His gifts. Hey, do you like reality TV? That's about all it's on these days. Have you seen the reality TV program about the hoarders? Have you watched that? The obsessive compulsive need to surround yourself with so much stuff that it almost falls in on you. How do you feel when you watch the program about hoarders? Could it be that that's the barrier that we have erected in our relationship with God that makes us feel insecure, unworthy, uncertain, fearful all the time? We've created with the blessings that we have received a barrier to the Almighty. King Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived in the Old Testament, one of the richest men that ever lived in the Old Testament, and he struggled with his own relationship with his stuff. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 13, he makes a very insightful statement. He's reflecting on his own life and the lives of others when he says, "I have seen a grievous evil under the sun." Grievous means really heartbreaking, tears you up. And what is that grievous sin? Wealth hoarded to the harm of its owners. Hey, God gives us wealth to be used. A whistle is worth nothing unless it's blown into, right? Love is nothing unless it's given away, right? God wants us to go green, to recycle a portion of His resources, to acknowledge that He is the giver of every perfect gift, and to make a difference in the lives of other people. So I've gotten real clear. God wants me to recycle my resources for His honor and glory. But how? Secondly, I've learned that God expects me to recognize my role as His manager. Jesus tells a great parable about two wise and one unwise stewards. It's called the parable of the talents. And one is given five bags of gold, and one is given two bags, and one is given one bag. When the master comes back, two of the servants have made a return on their investment. One did not. To the two that made a return on the investment, Jesus tells this parable. His master replied, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Come and share in your master's happiness." Now to the one who had not returned on the investment, he says, "Not only will I take this away from you, I will take everything else away from you, and you will be banished." It's a pretty hard word. But I want to ask an honest question. After all that God has done for us in Jesus Christ, should He expect a return on His investment in us? Well, let me ask you. Anybody here have kids? Anybody here paid for college education? Anybody? Let me see. Anybody done the college thing? Do you ever hope and pray and expect that you'll get a return on that investment? For instance, that he or she will get a job and move out and pay his or her own bills? Now, when you see that happen, you might pony up again for maybe a master's degree, right? Hey, maybe go all the way and the doctor's degree, knowing, hey, that doctorate's going to help support me in my old age. When you see a return on the investment, more is invested. Could it be that you and I have that feeling on the human level because that somehow reflects the heart of God? That He delights to pour His blessings into us, but He is looking for a return on His investment. I wonder, what's your return rate in the kingdom of God? Well, if it's true, as I've learned, that God expects me to recycle His resources and to recognize my place as a manager in the kingdom, then thirdly, that demands a response, and it is to return thanks to God through His church. And let's be real honest. Does God need my money? No. Does God demand my money for himself? No. There is a strange principle in Scripture, it runs all through Scripture, that though God could do it, he won't do it without your help and mine. God's heart is to partner with his creation for the salvation of the world. Are you aware that God is calling you to be a point of contact for his Holy Spirit, for the message of redemption, for the message of renewal? And you and I get to participate in the process of saving people for a purpose that is greater when God can trust us to be the point of contact through his church. St. Paul talks a lot about our relationship with our resources. And in 2 Corinthians 9, verse 11, he says, "You who are faithful will be enriched in every way." Why? So that you can be generous on every occasion, and through us, your generosity will result in thanksgiving to God. Who's the through us? Paul in his missionary journeys. Paul sets the standards that though God doesn't need our money, God partners with us on the human level that we might be his hands and feet and heart of love everywhere around the world. I give not only because God wants me to recycle my resources, not only because I'm a steward, I'm a manager of his resources, but because I want to make an investment that will live beyond me. Over these last couple of weeks, we've talked about, we've heard testimonies from people whose lives have been changed through this church. We've cited examples of how this church is the hands and feet of Jesus Christ in this community and around the world. And I feel really good about what this church is doing. So number four today, I give as a thanksgiving because I want to reach in faith for others. Hey, I think the greatest church in the book of in the Bible is the church at Macedonia. Macedonia in the near Middle East. And this was described about the heartbeat of the people of Macedonia. "For I testify," Paul said, "that they gave as much as they were able," and get this, "and even beyond their ability, entirely on their own. They urgently pleaded with us for the privilege of sharing in this service to the Lord's people." Hey, I wish you could sit where I sit and see all the great things that happen in the life of this church. We're going to talk about a couple of them at the end of this service today. I give urgently beyond the tithe, beyond the tenth. I give urgently even when the numbers don't seem to quite add up, because I believe the best way I can give thanks to God and acknowledge his sovereign presence in my life and keep the conduit of blessing open is to reach in faith for the sake of others and say, "Lord, what you've done for me, I pray you'll do for others. And what I can't do on my own, we as the body of Christ working together can make a difference in the hearts and minds of people." And the last thing that I've learned about giving thanks to God is, it's not a gift if it's coerced. It's not a gift if it's expected. It's not a gift if it's demanded. In fact, Paul talks about the attitude behind our giving. And if it's a this kind of giving, or a gross versus net kind of giving, then we've missed the point. It's ultimately not about the money. It's ultimately about our trustworthiness and our partnership in the gospel. Listen to the way Paul puts it. "Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver." years ago, I had a friend and I was visiting in his office, and I noticed his checkbook. Remember checkbooks? When we actually stroked a checkbook on his desk, and it had a very unusual paperweight on the top of it, and I kind of joked about it. It was a great big railroad spike. I thought, that's kind of an odd paperweight for the top of your checkbook. So I said, what's up with that? And he could tell I was joking, and I could tell he wasn't. And he said, it's a nail. It's a great big nail. And I keep it on top of my checkbook to always remember what God in Christ has done for me. And I want every check I write, every investment I write, to somehow reflect how grateful I am for what He has done for me. I've never forgotten that. Next week, you and I have an opportunity to complete our 2012 estimate of giving card to make our commitment to God in thanks through the Church of Jesus Christ with the great hope that God will expand the borders of His kingdom in Conyers, Georgia, and around the world because we're faithful. Because we find joy in saying, thank you, God, that we actually write a thank you note to Him weekly or monthly and whisper a prayer, as you've done it for me, do it for others. I'm really proud this morning to introduce my friend Jennifer Dwello to come and share her testimony this morning about how she has seen God bless through the faithfulness of returning to Him, how she herself has returned to the Lord, and the blessing that that has had in her life. Now, it's kind of scary being up here. It's kind of hot under the lights, you know. Jennifer, only place you can be where you can preach and get a suntan at the same time, pretty cool. So for those of you that she can see, teeth, smiles, make her feel comfortable as she shares her testimony with us this morning. Jennifer.
Okay. I know it's going to be hard to believe, but I actually do have issues.
Trust just happens to be one of those. I don't really remember a specific event in my life that made me not trust, but it just seems to be something that's always been a part of who I am. Because I do not feel like I could trust anyone, I became extremely self-reliant. Anytime I had a problem, I would always kind of internalize it and try to solve it on my own. And there came a point where I actually believed that it was a sign of strength, that I could handle it on my own. I didn't need anybody. And therefore, I would not be hurt or let down by anybody or another person. This attitude applied to God as well. And, I was in control. I didn't need any other help. But this way of doing things becomes very isolating. And as a result, I almost have felt this sense of emptiness. But in my adult life, I've had this feeling that I could only really describe as like an itch I couldn't scratch. And I now realize that was God opening up my heart and preparing me for this season in my life. And things lined up as God usually will have them do. And my best friend Lindy and I were invited to come to church here by Gail. And I will forever be thankful for that invitation. I have learned so much about God's grace and provision through a disciple and other Bible study classes that I've taken here. Dr. John's sermons, helping out with the little kids' Sunday school classes, the Women of Faith event, and so many other avenues that I've seen God working in this place. God has shown me who He is through the friendships that I have formed with so many of you. And I consider you my family, my brothers and my sisters. One day, I had an aha moment. I told someone that I give God everything, and I give it to Him to handle it, and that... So I told someone that I give God everything and I want Him to handle it all. And at that point, I realized I no longer relied solely on myself. I would not have come to this realization if it was not for the many amazing people at this church. Now, that's not to say that I still struggle. And as Dr. John says, try to pull myself up by my own bootstraps. But it is to say that I am conscious of God's presence in my life and trust that I can rely fully on his divine work in my life. I figure if God has my absolute best intentions at heart, which I truly believe he does, he knows what is best for me in all areas of my life, including my finances. So with that faith in mind, I will do my best to trust in God. And that's it. Thank you.
If you have not received a 2012 commitment card, we will have extras next Sunday. I invite you to pray over this commitment this week and prepare your card, fold it over like we do our connection cards. And at the end of next Sunday's service, we'll have an opportunity to make a commitment here for 2012. Our church wants to be as responsible as it can be in planning ministry and making commitments. And your willingness to sign a commitment card really helps us in that planning. I hope you never get tired of me bragging on you, but it is amazing to me that in the 4.5 years that we have spent together, you have made it possible for us to increase our ministry by 48%. I don't know any other church that has had a 48% increase in giving over these years that most will go down remembering as the most difficult economic years that many of us have experienced. I thank God for his faithfulness through you. So many great things are happening in the life of the church, and we want to be able to make commitments responsibly for 2012, and your written commitment will help us do that in the year to come. As we prepare to conclude our service this morning, I want to give you an opportunity to respond to God's call on your life. And on the backside of your connection card is an opportunity to do what I like to do regularly, and that's to memorize Scripture, to internalize God's promise for your life. And I'd really like for you to underline in your Bibles and commit to memory Deuteronomy chapter 8 and verse 18. But remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you the ability to produce wealth. He who gives you the ability to gather strength. And we thank Him for that as we choose to give a dime for every dollar. On the backside is also an opportunity for you to indicate that you'd like to explore what it means to be part of our church. I'm hosting a Java with John on Wednesday night, very informal time to talk about the mission and ministry of this great church and your place in the church. Also an opportunity to talk with you about what it means to follow Jesus Christ personally. Give you an opportunity to inquire about being baptized and join this community of faith. Hey, and I'd also like to have an opportunity to help you get connected with a small group on Sunday morning. We still call it Sunday school, but it's great to be known by a small group of people, to be cared for by name, to be loved. Really will increase your sense of belonging to this place. Then at the bottom is an opportunity for you to share your heartbeat with me. I love Tuesdays. I set aside Tuesday quietly myself to take your name and your need personally before the throne of God's grace as I kneel before the cross. Thank you for being vulnerable to share with me what's going on in your life and allowing me to be on your spiritual support team. Would you take just a moment in the quiet to complete your connection card and also to prepare your morning offering. This is your chance to say thank you, God, to remember that He's the one that is blessing you. Then as the music plays, our offering baskets will come by and I invite you to drop in your connection card as well as your morning offering. May I ask you to be seated for just a quick moment before the benediction? Because you're faithful to return to this place, this is the most mission-minded congregation I've ever had the privilege of serving. And one of the great mission leaders in our church, step up here with me, Mike, is Mike Yoder. He not only is a great mission leader in this church, but I'm really proud that he chairs the disaster response team for the whole of the North Georgia Conference of the United Methodist Church, and is actually being called on nationally to lecture about mobilizing congregations to respond to natural disasters. But you know, there are disasters in people's lives beyond natural disasters. And this morning, he's coming to share with us a vision for a new ministry that's beginning in our church. There is an insert in your bulletin called Family Promise of Newton and Rockdale County to address the disaster of homelessness even here in our small county. Mr. Mike, tell us about the Family Promise ministry.
Thank you, and thank you for listening. We do have a problem here in the county and in Newton County. And last year they isolated 260 some plus children who are homeless right here in River City. And I didn't believe that. I'm of the old school and I'm hard to get hit on the head to believe things such as that, because we don't have homeless people in my county. And so they said, well, go to Walmart some morning about 6:30. And I did that. And I was amazed at the number of people that went in there with their children to brush their teeth and clean up to go to school. And a couple of the other stores that were open that early in the morning, they did that. And so we do really have a problem. So we're working with a group of 13, 14, now about 17 other churches to solve that problem.
Why are you passionate about this particular ministry?
I'm passionate about disaster, I think. And the reason I am is because in Matthew 25, and you quoted a couple verses out of that book this morning, the Lord tells us to serve his people. If we want to go to heaven, we need to do what he did, and he served his people. And you know about Mother Teresa. Every one of you have heard of her. And as kneeling on the gutter in Calcutta, she tells a story that when she covered one of the dying persons there with a sheet, she felt she was covering the Lord, her Lord. And that's what we need to do to take care of our people, preacher. We need to take care of them.
How can this church be a full partner with New Rock of Family Promise of New Rock in bringing this vision to pass? How can we specifically help?
I've already stuck our church's neck out about that far. So you're involved, whether you know you are or not. We're involved. We will have two groups. We will have a group here every 4 weeks, four times a year, of 14 or 15 young mothers, fathers, and children. And they will be staying in our hallways, and we will be feeding them at night. And they will go to Lighthouse Village during the day. The kids will go to the school during the day, and then they will come back at night. So we have to support that ministry, and it is going to take funds to support that ministry, over and above the budget funds. But it's also going to take budget funds to help buy the heat and all the things that our church provides. And we do that not just for New Rock, but we do that for so many things in this church. And we certainly appreciate your help. And when we do this, know that you are doing what the Lord's telling you to do, and that's take care of his people.
Mike, I thank you for your example of leadership, and I'm so grateful that when this idea was presented, people did not say, ooh, they might get our Sunday school rooms dirty. Ooh, they might mess up our pristine bulletin boards. I was so proud that the people of this congregation said, yes, we are going to use this facility to combat the disaster of homelessness. Now, if you really want to get involved, Mike, when is the first homeless group coming on our campus?
I stuck my neck out again.
Way out.
The first group is coming Sunday night, December 25th.
Christmas night.
The second group is coming January 1st.
New Year's Day.
And so we'll have to have people here for those 2 weeks. But the church is not being used at that time, and so we can bring them here. We will need your help to do that, to bring them and to help us take care of them.
Friends, I hope your heart is encouraged that when you return to the Lord and thank him for the blessings in your life, this is what you are participating in. Would you please rise for the benediction? God tells Moses to tell Aaron and all the leaders of the people of God, I do not want my people to forget that they are marked as my own. I want to put my name on them so they can live in the security of knowing that they are chosen. So God gave Moses and Aaron and all of us who are shepherds of the people of God this blessing. And now, my friends, as always, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you, his healing and approving smile, and best yet, give you peace, perfect peace. And I mark you now as belonging to the one true God, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen, and good morning.